last week, don't clap, but last week of improving your posture. And today's message is stretching by giving. Don't everyone get up and leave. I wasn't talking about you, Ed, as I happened to look up and see him leaving. Okay, to begin, we're going to do a little exercise. It's not that lean forward, nothing goofy like that. But let's just do this. Everyone stand to your feet if you're able. Stand to your feet. You know what we're going to do. We're going to stretch just a little bit. Just stretch your hands, your fingertips as high as you can. There you go. There you go. Now give just a little bit more. It's amazing. Go ahead and sit down. It's amazing when I said as high as you can and then said give a little bit more and people had a little bit more to give. They had a little bit more even though we said give. Put your hands as high as you can. Point number one, even when you think you're stretching, you always have a little bit more to give. Point number two on that, you may be stretching in one area. I had my hands and arms stretched as high as I could, but you have more to stretch in another. What am I talking about? Oh, but when I stretch my gut a little bit or my shoulders pulled back, I could get them a little higher. So it may be that you're giving all you can in one area, but you, thank you, Miss Dorothy. I love that. Stretching as high as you can. She's back there still stretching. All right. But you may be giving all you can in one area, but you still have more to give in another area. And don't think this is all about money. We'll talk about that, but it's not about that. We're talking about our time, our talent, and our finances. And with our time, what I'm talking about is you don't have to be an educated or a skilled person necessarily to show up and help us shovel dirt out of the gutters and put them in a trash can or something like that. So sometimes we're just looking for time. I need your time. Hey, can you pick up a phone and dial it and check on a church member? Can you do those things? Sometimes we're looking for time just to help out, untrained, unskilled, just come and do. We have an opportunity to go to the food bank again on August 4th, I believe, Thursday. August 4th, doesn't take a whole lot of skill to do that. Sometimes it does, but it doesn't take a whole lot in general to show up and help out, okay, and to do what they ask you to do. That's a great opportunity to give of your time. It helps God. It furthers what He's trying to do. And then our talents, our gifts that were given to us by God, the things that He's given us that we can do on our own, a talent that He may have blessed us with. He blessed my wife with the gift of organization. I don't have that. It's all just right here. But hers, here and here and here. So those natural gifts that He's given us, but also the ability maybe to learn a trade and do those things. So give of our talent. Anna, who is out this week, but who plays our piano and sings, I'll never forget going down to Falls Creek, and her mother said, hey, do you think you could play on that a little bit and toy around with it? Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry, I had no idea she was so good, you know, at an early age. Yeah, because she was taking piano lessons and really knew how to play it. And lo and behold, here she is at an early age, giving of that gift and time and talent, and now being our praise and worship leader. And then there's our money. It's the things that keep the lights on and the air conditioning and the heat going and pays for us to have this wonderful facility to meet in. So those are the three areas we'll talk about today. There's many other areas of giving, but in giving today, in reference to improving our posture, our spiritual posture, we're going to talk about those three areas in giving. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. That was a little delayed. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, that was even worse. Huh? I heard these great things of screaming and yelling. And guys, can we try that one more time? Youth group. Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, there we go. All right. I mean, if you say you're going to do it, let's do it, right? Okay. Ephesians chapter 5. And as you're turning there, we're actually going to be reading in verse 8. But as you're turning to Ephesians 5, verse 8, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God as dear children. Now in verse 8, and I don't know if you remember last week, we talked about worship and a definition of worship. We talked about to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. Man, be imitators of Christ, an offering and sacrifice of ourselves to God. And when we do that, that's extravagant love and extreme submission in my eyes. Verse 8 says, "For you were once in darkness." Actually, it says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light, and therefore he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." So what does that have to do with giving of our time? It tells us how we need to spend our time. Verse 10 says, "Find out what is acceptable." Verse 10, "Find out what is acceptable to the Lord." Verse 14, "Awake and arise," it says. "Awake, those who sleep, arise from the dead." Some of you are asleep and or dead. God says, man, it's time to arise. You've been in the spiritual slumber long enough. It is time to wake up. And it says, and Christ will give you light. Verse 17, "Understand what the will of the Lord is." It says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 20, "Give thanks always for all things, submitting to one another." With our time, we have to spend it so wisely and do things that honor God and glorify God. And we'll look at that in just a minute here. Write down, if you would, John. Write down John chapter 9, verse 4. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it real quick. But John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." What is he saying? You have to spend your time now doing the work of the Lord. Because we don't know when night comes. We don't know when the end of our time comes. We have to keep busy doing his work. We have to keep busy watering those seeds. We may not see the fruit of that. But God in his word says some plant, some water, and some receive the crop from that. Or see the results of that. Tim Walker, all the way in the back there. Tim Walker, in a men's breakfast a couple months ago, talked about ground zero. And he said, we have to plant those seeds. And we have to water those seeds. And know that that was good work that was done. And good seeds that were planted. We may not see the results of it. But we have to do that in faith that God is doing the rest. When this youth group goes down to Falls Creek each year, I love looking in their entryway to the tabernacle and looking at old photos from the 1900s. When I say that, I'm talking about 1900, literally. 1910, the likes of that. People riding in horses and the different wooden carriages they have taking them down there to Falls Creek. Not staying in a small dorm with minimal air conditioning. Staying in possibly a tent with no air conditioning. Staying in the back of a wooden wagon right behind a horse. But we have to be thankful for those men and women that went before us, planted those seeds, and provided that opportunity for these young people to go down. The world's largest camp. Christian camp, the world's largest Christian camp, Falls Creek. And I'm thankful to be a part of that. You know, our founding pastor left 3 years ago this month. And I remember after he left, my first message, I said, it's not really a message, but just words from my heart. And Pastor Eric and I, you know how thankful we are for the seeds that have been planted by those that came before us, both in members and the pastor. Sometimes you dig things up and replant. Other times you just continue to water and cultivate. We have to be thankful for those that spent their time before us, making way for us to go now. James chapter 4, if you'll turn there. We only got one woohoo out of the youth group. James chapter 4. You should not tell me what you're going to do. I'll hold you accountable for it, guys, okay? All right, James chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. It's a very small verse. I mean, just a short thing there. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 13. And it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Your time, your life is but a vapor. It's going to be gone quickly. It vanishes very quickly. It says we should respond, if the Lord wills. Here we go again. We're searching God's will. Not what we want to do, but God's will. We shall live and do this or that. Reference this. Don't go there now, but reference this and write it down. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. Just study that in your own time and see how that relates to what we're talking about. So the first thing we talk about is our time. What are we going to do with it? Use it wisely for His glory. Wisely for His glory. Number two, our talent. And don't think God didn't give me any talent. He may not have developed it fully, but He's given everyone talents. And if you would turn to Romans chapter 12. All right, we got the congregation out doing you guys. Come on. Romans chapter 12. And in verse 1 and 2, we read that last week, and it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here we are back on the will of God. When we do these things with ourselves and become living sacrifices to Him, it no longer is about us. Become living sacrifices to God. So we're going to read in verse 3 through 8, it says, for I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Different gifts, different talents. one body that we serve. Flip over a few pages, if you will. Just going to 1 Corinthians. Just flip past Romans. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There we go. Now, will this be ongoing or just this week only? We'll see, I guess. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And we're back into His will again. As He wills. He'll give those to us as He wills. Sometimes we may get frustrated and think, why can they not do this like I do? Why did they not get it? Why do they not have the same passions that I have? God says, man, I have different gifts, different talents, but for the profit of all. Same Lord, same God, same Spirit. I'm going to flip here, but you guys don't have to. Just write this down if you would. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 26. On your own time, or I'm not going to read it, but on your own time, read about the faith without works side of this story and see how that works. So talent. What about our talent? Give it to the profit of all. Some people may be holding those talents back. And saying, oh, if they find out I can do this, they're calling me all the time. There's an electrician at my work, and I said, hey, man, you think you can maybe come look at something at my church? He says, oh, no, I don't have time. I do that for my own church. They call me all the time. I said, oh, okay, well, I'll just, you know, we'll search someone else out to do that. And some people may think, oh, my Lord, they use me all the time. Once they find out I have this gift or this talent, they call me all the time. I mean, if I tell them I can play music or sing or whatever, I see these guys every week up here. That means I got to come. Oh, and when I get here, they're always here early practicing. That means I got to get up early on Sunday. It's really my only day to sleep in. There may be other things. Oh, if I teach, there's that preparing lessons. Yep. Our talent. Give it to the profit of all. Give it to the profit of all. From our youngest kids to our older kids to our oldest in attendance. Hi, Miss Dorothy, our oldest in attendance there. We want to be sure we have people trained to teach them the Word of God. Older ladies, it says, teach the younger ladies. Older men, teach the younger men. We have a great opportunity, not obligation, opportunity to teach our young women and our young men. Give it to the profit of all. Somehow money made its way to the end of the list. Point number three, our money. What about it? Give it. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 25. It's waning. It's waning. Matthew chapter 25. I'm sorry. Some of you are waning. Some are not. Some still have it. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30, it's a lengthy one. It's a lengthy one. It's the parable of the talents. And as I understand it, you guys talked about that last week, right, Tim? All right. Tim talked to our young people about not using your talents and wasting them. And thank you for that, by the way. It's a good lesson. So Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. And it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, and he immediately went out to his journey." I'm going to give you the condensed version of this. They did different things. He came back and he says, when he received the 5 talents, he came and brought 5 other talents, saying, "Lord, you delivered me to 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents. Verse 21, he says, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" And he did that with the second one as well. But then he came to the third one, who went, dug a hole, and hid his talent. And said, "Well, I still have the one, but I didn't get you any gain." This one did not go as well. He said, "I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours." Here's your 1 talent back. Verse 26, "But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent.' So he took the talent from him, gave it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I thought, man, that sounds pretty brutal to talk about money, Adam. Well, I'm talking about our talents and our gifts and our time and our money. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, when we look at those things as opportunities and not obligations, we see things completely differently. Our young people, teens, you know, they can just be loud and obnoxious and whatever. I'm just saying what some people have said. Your youth pastors, your sponsors, no, I'm just kidding. But to those that see this as an opportunity to develop young leaders and young teachers, what a blessing. No obligation to give them an opportunity, or to give them that chance to do things, but an opportunity to help grow and develop future leaders and to support them. You see, when they come back from Falls Creek, the world is there, sitting and waiting. Life is there waiting for them to come back through the doors of their homes, go into the hallways of their schools, in the doorways of their jobs, and waiting to throw at them whatever life has to give them. That's why we pray today that you guys would stand your ground, that you would be strong in your faith, that you would lean on one another. Write down, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. We're not going there. Just write it down if you would. It basically says it's okay to make money, but see that God tells you to do a certain thing with it and care for it in a certain manner. It's okay to make money. There's a story of a pastor, and a man walked up to him complaining and said, "Hey, I understand you just went out and bought 5 new brooms. I think that's a waste of money." The pastor went and asked the treasurer and said, "Well, what's this about?" The treasurer said, "Hey, that's understandable. How would you like it if your yearly giving went to 5 brooms? Y'all didn't get that, did you? Yearly get 5 brooms? Okay, forget it. I worked so long to remember that. Okay, he gave his yearly giving, they spent on 5 brooms. He didn't give much, but he was complaining. Okay. hang on. Never use again. Okay, I knew that would be a bust. I've got another one. Hang on. I got another one I work very hard on. Give and trust that the church is going to take care of that money and we're going to use it for proper things. Okay? That's the point, I guess. Let's close with this. How's that? Turn to Mark, not Mark Caldwell, turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Okay, and we'll close with this, guys. I'd say, Eric, can you edit that out? But I understand we're live streaming and we can't edit that out because it's, well, they've already seen it. So just pretend it didn't happen. Mark chapter 12, and go to the end of that, verse 41 through 44. The widow and the two mites. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Who gave more? Eric's told a story before about the wealth of an object that someone could have if they were willing to give everything they had. And here came the person with the shopping cart of their possessions, said, this is everything I have. And they said, here you go. And people were like, what? The widow and the two mites. She gave everything she had. She gave more than those out of abundance gave. So what are we talking about money? I want you guys to think just for a minute. Remember at the beginning of service, stretch. Now stretch a little more. Then it went a little further. This week is stretching and giving. And remember, you may be giving in this area. I gave everything I had, my fingertips and my arm. Oh, but I have a little bit more here I can give, I guess. By just standing up straight, I could stretch a little higher. I could stretch that stomach. I could stand on my tippy toes and stretch my toes, and I've got a little more height now. So stretching may be in another area. Look around. If each one of you stretched 25 additional dollars each week, what we could do? Maybe for some of you it's $50. I have another story, but after that last one, I'm going to leave it out, so I'll skip it. We could do some amazing things if we would stretch just a little bit. That's less than $4 a day. I think it comes out to like $3.57 or 47 cents or something like that. It's less than $4 a day. I know most of you pretty good, and you drink that in sodas, coffees, whatever. But when it comes to this, somehow it's like, I can't give that additional $25. I don't have it. Welcome to Starbucks. May I take your order? Just skip that. I will tell a personal story here as I close. My wife and I, for years, we gave to the church. I don't think we were as obedient as we should. We are now. Trust me in that. We are now. And the strange thing is, we didn't become really obedient until I lost my job. Now, how does that happen? You lose your job. I didn't have a job for a while. And forget that unemployment. It didn't do near what my job paid me. And I thought, what do we do? And for some reason, my faith was just going like this. My wife said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. First check we write is to the church. And we write it on what we have. What we make, what we have. I don't mean what's left over. I'm talking about what we have. We write the check to the church and we make do on the rest. And I know we hear those stories a lot that people say, oh, it's everything else. And then whatever's left over for God at the end. I've never felt more free than I do writing that check first to God. I've never felt richer than I feel now, even though I make less than I used to. Young people coming back from Falls Creek, this isn't just about the old folks. Older folks. You count too. I've said it before, I'm going to say it one last time. Probably not the last time, but I'll say it again. Some of us are living in our tithe and offering. Talk about our house. Some of us are wearing our tithe and offering. Some of you are shopping your tithe and offering. You're smoking your tithe and offering. You're drinking your tithe and offering. You are driving your tithe and offering. You are partying your tithe and offering. You are gambling your tithe and offering. You are shooting it. You're drinking it, smoking it, shopping it, whatever else there is. You're spending it on hobbies that are replacing time with God or His tithe money. Whatever that is. Money, give freely as He freely gives it to us. And when we understand really it's not ours, it was His to begin with. Here's all I'm asking for today as we close. Simply pray. Simply to pray. How and when does God want you to give and use your time for His glory? That doesn't mean it necessarily has to be at this church. You can go down and do a project downtown for somebody or with another group. But you're giving your time. For His glory. Pray, what talent or gift do you have that the church can use for His glory? And then pray, how can I release the money in this hand freely for the church to use it for His glory? For just the basics of taking care of the church. You may have the answer today when you pray. It may be next week or next month, but I want you to pray. Nothing under pressure, nothing under obligation. Everything as opportunity to serve the Lord. We need a mowing team. Luckily, they are near done paving the road. They'll finish this side of the street on Monday. I don't know when it's open, but they'll finish the street in front of the church Monday. They've added a lot of mowable surface that we didn't have to mow in the past. We need a mowing team, someone that's willing to come up here every 2 weeks on a Friday evening or Saturday morning. Mow, weed eat, and edge. We have some equipment. You can use your own. Get with me. Let me know if that's you. I need some volunteers to help with some Christmas decorations. And I'm not talking about hanging some ornaments on a tree. I'm talking about building some decorations for the church. Let me know if that's you. We need teachers for Sunday school that we will be starting soon. We have most of those lined out. But if you feel that's you, let me know that. Money. We've been hit hard. I told you guys before. Pastor Jack used to say, I'll never ask for money from the pulpit. Okay, I'll just tell you about all our needs, I guess. It's all the same to me. But we've been hit hard since the first of the year. You guys have heard about that with different air conditioning units being ripped off or parts stolen out of it, to the well having issues out here, to a new air conditioning unit there for the first time in 200 years. Those things are costly and they're money that we don't have a whole lot of backup. But I think when we stretch and say, I can give $25 extra a week. Oh, my spouse can also. Maybe as a couple it's $50. Those things will take care of themselves. We don't have to worry about that and say, okay, what do we need to do to change this? But they're just real needs of an independent church. I just want you to pray. And I want God to move you. I don't want Adam to intimidate you, convince you. Let God, let the Holy Spirit convict you if that's you. But just see if that's you. That's all I want you to do is pray. I have enjoyed looking at different aspects of improving our posture, from our doctrine to worship to prayer, giving, these different areas that we talk about. But it helps us in our presence with God. And it helps us remind ourselves that He's in control. And it's His will that we should be seeking after and not our will. He'll do the recognition on His own. We don't have to go searching for it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the opportunity that we do have here, Prayer Faith, to come freely before You, to come in a wonderful facility. Lord, I ask You to just make this message series come alive to the people that have heard it. Prayer, an opportunity to speak to You. Your Word, Your opportunity to speak to us. Worship, our opportunity to respond to You. And then giving. What a wonderful way to worship You and giving what You've given to us. God, I ask You to help us honor You with extravagant love and extreme submission. God, where we can give more of our time, our talent, our finances to Your work and to Your glory. Let us do that. God, I close today with asking You to lift up our Ground Zero youth group, our youth leaders, our sponsors. Help them to hold firm their faith and their belief when the enemy comes against them. We thank You for this wonderful group. God, I thank You for this congregation as well. Thank You for all those that have helped with their finances, make Falls Creek happen for our youth group, and prayed for our young teens. Help us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. Let Your Word be the light to light our footsteps and our path. Help guide us as we go out this week, and help guard our tongues, Lord, and the things we say. I ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.